Amen, my brother. Thank you, thank you. Okay, that was very nice Q&A. And I had the one more, like with one of the brothers asked a question in regards to how do we lock down the timing of the birth of Christ. You can't, but you can get the season, you can get the area, and it was in the fall. And maybe next Q&A I'll share that one. Well, I'll probably start with that one, which would be a good idea because the next Q&A will be the end of December, when most people think Jesus was born on December 25th, when in fact there is no way that that could have possibly happened. Now, however, Tammuz, you know, the pagan stuff and all that, yeah, December 25th, yeah, that's his day. Yeah, amen, it's almost over. And we're going to be going into 2025 in a heartbeat. But I was asked a question the other day in regards to why was J.D. Vance, and I don't like doing politics, but amen, guard the edges of the Sabbath. But, you know, maybe I won't share this now, now that I think about it, because there's a reason that he's in there. And it has to do with religious laws and stuff, so I'll get to it some other time. Yeah, it's going to, yeah, me too, Sister Danny. But I want to read what Brother Mel just put in there. He says that, well, Sister White says in Testimonies, Volume 6, page 356, paragraph 1, we should jealously guard the edges of the Sabbath. Remember that every moment is consecrated holy time. Whenever it is possible, employers should give their workers the hours from Friday noon until the beginning of the Sabbath. Give them time for preparation that they may welcome the Lord's day with quietness of mind. By such a course, you will suffer no less, even in temporal things. And that reminds me of a brother in the faith many years ago, and back when we had the original chat room based on an XP server, and he came into the truth and found out about the Sabbath. And I always liked telling this story because of how the Lord's hand was made so obvious, so amazingly obvious to him. And to all of us too, because we shared it with everybody. But he had a store in the mall, okay? And in the mall, you got to be open 7 days a week. And that's how he was. He was doing it for years. He was he had quite a good business going there too, in fact. And they, he found the truth about the Sabbath, and he decided to close his shop on Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And then when the mall found out about it, they went after him and says, you can't do that because the mall is designed to be set up to where people come in and everything's open for everyone. And he told them about the Sabbath and says, yeah, that's not our concern. You have to keep it open. And if you don't, we're going to fine you $5,000 for every day you close. And he says, well, not much we can do about that. And here's the other thing, too, because he did close it anyway, and they fined him $5,000. And but this is what was nice about this whole situation was he Saturday was his best day of business. You know, like most businesses, people go out shopping on Saturdays. They go out on Friday nights and party hardy and get drunk, and that's the Sabbath. I remember we all worked for the weekend when we were teenagers, and we had no clue about the Sabbath. We thought it was Sunday, and even then, we just thought it was, you just went to church, and that was it. As soon as you get out of church, right to the restaurant, right? Get somebody else to, you know, and you pay for your meal and get someone to serve you the meal, you know, the waitresses and stuff, and which was condoning breaking of the Sabbath, even though it wasn't a Sabbath, right? And so Saturday was his busiest day of the week, and it was the one that made his week, you know. The rest of the week, it, you know, it paid the bills, but the profit usually came on Sabbath, on the Saturday. And so out of obedience to the Lord, he shut it down, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And not only did the Lord bless him with Sunday becoming the best day of the week for him, he made so much profit that he had more than enough to pay the $5,000 fine every month, or every week, rather. And, or was it a month, or? No, I think it was a week. Every time he kept it closed, the mall fined him $5,000. Because malls ain't cheap, right? And so he, not only did he, you know, Sunday became the best day of the week for him, he also had so much more left over he could pay the fine, and he had even more left over to where he got in a strip mall. He opened up another store in a strip mall down the road from the mall. And that got so blessed and busy that after about 3 or 4 or 5 months, he just shut down the mall store. You know, after, you know, and paid them every time. They got a lot of money out of those fines, but that was to the glory of God. And so the Lord really blessed him. You know, as, and like so many people that I've come across over the years that are Sunday keepers, and they come in into the church and they find out the truth about the Sabbath, and then their bosses, and they're worried that, like they get a new job or the job they have, that they have to quit their job, or they fear having to go to the boss to let them know they can't work on Saturdays anymore, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, and they would prefer, say the sun goes down at 4:30 on Eastern time in winter, and so I would, you know, think getting 2 hours, like instead of working till 4:30 and then drive home on Sabbath, you know, give them a couple, 3 hours to be able to go home long before Sabbath so they can prepare for it and be at rest when it starts. And I always, and it happened every time how this was done with the obedient people of God, that, because I used to run businesses, and the first time I ever realized this is when I ran a Brown's Chicken, you know, fast food joint for, you know, but I had two different ones that I ended up, one for 2 or 3 years and the other one for 1 or 2 years, I can't remember. And I also did other businesses and stuff like that, of course, but I, the thing I noticed the most about was setting up the schedule, the work schedule. That was awful. I hated scheduling people on the weekends because everybody wanted the party hardy. And I always loved it when this young girl would come up and to say, I'll work every day. He says, you know, like even on, you know, holidays and stuff like that, because the store would get packed on holidays. Like Mother's Day, forget about it. We used to do $8,000 to $10,000 a week. This is back in the early 80s, you know, early 80s, yeah. And you do $8,000 to $10,000 a week at Brown's Chicken, let's say. And that's what that one was, $8,000 to $10,000 a week, just selling the chicken. But on Mother's Day, $8,000 to $10,000 a day on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. $30,000 in 1 weekend. Try to schedule somebody for stuff like that, or Christmas or Easter. People didn't want to work because of the holidays, right? But this young girl was always right up there saying, I'll work. And it was so easy to work the schedule with her because, you know, I always had somebody to fill in at the cash register. I didn't have to worry about it. And there was another one that would do it like that as well. So it was kind of hard. And so I told this to my brethren that were worried. I said, why don't you try this? Walk into your boss and say, look, I can't work on Saturdays anymore, and, you know, Friday sundown and Saturday sundown. And I says, but, so as to not upset you, I'll work every Sunday, because most people want Sunday off. I'll work every Sunday and every holiday. And that, especially if the boss is the one that has to do the scheduling, he's going to go, okay, no problem. Because that just really makes it easier for the guy doing the scheduling, you know. Now, here's the clincher. They all kept their jobs, and the boss always said, yeah. And some of them were promoted to higher pay for obeying the Lord. And that always, you know, blessed me as well when I heard about that, because it really did help the people. Oh, that's sweet. I'm just going to send her a hug. Sister Phyllis, she likes to text me on Sabbath. You know, remember Brother Arnold? He went to his rest in Jesus a few months back. That's his widow. That's his wife. But she's a sweet woman. But anyway, the thing with guarding the edges of the Sabbath, it's so important. The Lord will bless you for doing so. Oh, I want to read this one, too, that Brother Mel put in the room. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 356, paragraph 2, 3, and 4. It says, there is another work that should receive attention on the preparation day. And for those of you that are new, that would be Friday, preparation day. On this day, all differences between brethren, whether in the family or in the church, should be put away. Let all bitterness and wrath and malice be expelled from the soul. In a humble spirit, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. James 5:16. Before the Sabbath begins, the mind as well as the body should be withdrawn from worldly business. God has set his Sabbath at the end of the 6 working days, that men may stop and consider what they have gained during the week in preparation for the pure kingdom, which admits no transgressor. We should each, we should each Sabbath reckon with our souls to see whether the week that has ended has brought the spiritual gain or loss. It means eternal salvation to keep Sabbath holy unto the Lord. God says, them that honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. Amen to that. So, praise the Lord. And Sister Mary has put in Maranatha. Or Maranatha, that's how I used to say it. Like Tagalog, instead of Tagalog, I used to say Tagalog. So, yeah, I read them how they're written, you know, sometimes, you know. So that happens. That happens. You know, words like Yosemite instead of Yosemite. I mean, it's easy to see. The first time you've ever seen it written, it looks like Yosemite. It's just a common mistake, I would think. So, no big deal. But I like to kid some people about it. But anywho, let's see here. What time is it? Okay. Oh, and 7 o'clock tonight, please, 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 y'all be there for a prayer and study. And we're in, start a new book? I don't remember. Did we start a new, oh, yeah, we're going to go right into the next, we're going to finish the Arawak or something like that. So, okay, Pastor, when meeting new people who may not know Christ or his word, how long do you subject yourself to their presence when sharing and being around perverse language, you know, cursing and stuff? My soul wants to scream. I heard that. Scream out. But I know they're not ready for any of the truths that are discussed here. How do you balance that? That's a good question. I always like to whittle the conversation towards Christ or end time prophecy or something that I think that will, you know, as Enoch, yeah. And just, you know, you can't really correct them, you know, like with, and I've had people do this because, you know, they've known I'm a preacher and stuff like that. And even when I had a 9-to-5 job before I went full time, I'd be talking to somebody and they'll start using 4-letter words and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I said, look, what are you sorry about? I didn't say it. You said it. Doesn't bother my ears. My ears, I've heard worse, but I would suggest not using that kind of language because James 1:26. You know, I would kind of try to get the conversation towards, you know, especially if they're older, because I know guys in their 50s and 60s that still use foul language like that. And says, why don't you grow up? And what I mean by that is, when I was a little kid, first time I heard a swear word, I made it a point to say it, right? But not around mom and dad. Forget that noise. You know, I would go out into the neighborhood and see my friends, and I'd be using that new swear word I just found every 5 seconds. I'd be throwing it out there just because mom and dad ain't around and I'm cool, right? That's little kid stuff. That's what you do. Yeah. But when I found Christ, I was born again. And that was one of the first things he took from me because I had verbal sewage. And so, but it's not easy to, let me see, if somebody did it to me today, what would I do? Especially if my wife's nearby and says, well, can you kind of tone that down, you know, mixed company here, you know. I used to do this, and I don't do this anymore, like when they use the Lord's name in vain, I says, okay, when we, you want to pray? And they go, what do you mean? I says, well, yeah, I just heard you say Jesus. That's all I'm kind of figuring. You want to pray? You want to pray? Let's go over here and let's have some prayer. You know? And maybe I could do that again later, but if someone does it to me again, because then I'll just say, what do you mean? I says, well, it's not a swear word. It's the Lord of my Savior. It's the name of my Lord, Savior, and King. And it's quite offensive to your Heavenly Father, whether you like it or not. Even if you're atheist, He is your Father. You know, because I'll try to educate, and I'll do it in a loving but stern manner. Amen. Amen. That, you know, because that's what got me, too, when I first started to walk in Christ. Immediately, He took the foul language away. And then when I saw in 1 Corinthians 13:11 where it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So, breaking the third commandment while talking to you. You mean taking the Lord's name in vain? That's when I say, do you want to pray? Would you like to pray? Or are you a Christian? Because I remember there was a couple of young men that I knew years ago that actually thought Jesus Christ was a swear word because that's the only time they ever heard it from their father or mother was in a hateful way, like a swear word. And so I would just say, when they would say the Lord's name in vain, I would, my body language would be obvious to most. I would like, whoa, and I'd furrow my brow a little bit and move my head to the right or left and say, oh, be careful there. You know, or I would just say, oh, you want to pray? And that would always get them to ask, what do you mean? You know, why would you say that? Well, you just said Jesus, you know. I'm assuming, you know, would you want to pray? Is this why you're mentioning my Lord, my Savior, and my King? Would you like to pray? If not, then, you know, whatever. They say Jesus Christ says, love you, and then give them a stern look, and they will get the message. Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. Like, a lot of people do that. And babes in Christ do it, too, because they don't know it's wrong yet. And I catch them doing it a lot, and I go, yeah, I swear to God, you know. And I says, no, you can't be doing that, you know. Your answer should be yay or nay. Shouldn't say swear to God because, you know, like if you ever watch Cops, I used to watch, you know, the bad boys, what you gonna do, you know, watching the cops arrest people, I used to watch that. And every time someone's getting busted for some crime, they're lying through their teeth and to try to make the cop believe them. They say, I swear to God, or I swear on my mother's life, or I swear on the life of my children, or I swear on my children's eyes or something, you know. I said, be careful when you say stuff like that. Remember what happened to the Jews? And they said, let his blood be upon us. Yeah. They have been judged worthy of that blood being, you know, upon them. So, but, it has to do with the, you know, the situation. Like if someone's verbal like that, I usually walk away as quick as possible and, you know, like if, because I will say something, but a lot of people think I'm a little bit too bold. And so I don't want to give advice in that area because some people won't do it the way I do it or feel like they can't do it the way I do it, but I'm a little bold. And this is why the Lord has me team up with certain people that are calmer than I am. I mean, look at Paul and Silas or Peter in Or was it Peter and Silas and Paul and Barnabas? One of them, well, Peter we know was bold, and then Silas was a calm and gentle guy. And so we're, you know, so you have to be careful. I'm a bit alarmed and confused, says Master Swanson. It happened again in the other part. An older man who said it as he dealt with an issue with his dog looked right at me. Oh, yeah, that's a good, wow. So when they say Jesus Christ, that is, that's probably the best way to, that I would, I'm going to try that next time. You know, what Sister Soon said, the next time that someone says Jesus, like they'll go Jesus Christ, right? They're saying it as a swear word, and I'll go, and when they say Jesus Christ, just come back with loves you. That's, there you go. There's your answer. See, this is one of the blessings of, you know, being together when we have Q&A like this. Someone can come up with an answer better than I can or anybody else. And so, praise God, that'll work. I'm definitely going to try that again. And the nice thing is, he said, some other guy gave him a massive smile and says, that he does. And so, yeah, I love that. Yeah. Wow, that is good. I've heard other people make jokes about it, you know, to try to calm it down, to stop the guy from using it, but I don't agree with that. You know, like after the guy says Jesus Christ, the guy goes, where is he? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, no, that's not, don't do that. It's just a mockery. So, because I've literally seen a guy do that, and I said, well, that's not a good idea. So, yeah, that's too, and like on YouTube, every now and then you'll some of the parents are so proud of their kid, put them on a YouTube video and watch little Johnny say the F word or something, or take the Lord's name in vain. They go, oh, look at that, how precious. Oh man, are they in a heap of trouble. So, but yeah, somebody says Jesus Christ is safe, loves you. Wow. So simple. So there you go, Brother Seth. Sister Sue, you know, had the answer. Oh, yeah, and that's another thing, too, in the movies. They'll bleep out all these words, like the F word or S word or any of the other words, but when they use the Lord's name in vain, they won't bleep that out. Even though they're using it as a swear word. Because they know what they're doing. So, but yeah. That is good. Okay. But yeah, next Q&A will be... Let me see the date. It'll be... The 28th. Okay, you know, so that's just a few days after the 25th. So that Q&A, I'll share the question that says, where did I put it? So I got to add these other ones to the Q&A page. Hope I already closed it. Well, then it should be in the stack. There it is. Is there a way to lock down the timing of Christ's birth? And no date, but you can lock down the season. And it's a fairly quick answer, too. But I want to save it for the 28th because we all know what happens then. And I got to put on the site this week. I got to remember to do this. Put on my Is Christmas Christian banner. I used to always have banners, if you all remember, with the way the site was designed before. But I got to figure out where to put the banner now because I got so much stuff on the front page. And the only reason I went back to doing it that way, because when I first started on the internet, I had so much stuff on the front page. And everybody had dial-up. It was like, oh, man, it was like a hair grow just to get my front page to pop in, you know. And so I yanked all that off. And now that everybody's got, you know, pretty good speed out there, I started putting stuff back on. But I crunched the graphics, of course, so that it pops quicker anyway. I didn't do that back then. Nobody knew. Well, at least I didn't know. But, yeah, we'll have to be working on that better. So let me just put up a little reminder to myself here on the index page. Oh, that's right. I got to use a different coder because I coded the main page differently than I've ever done before, so it'll work on a cell phone. So I got to get that fixed. I'll just put up a little note. Wait, I'm going to turn on my sticky notes real quick here. There might be a little cuckoo thing goes off or something. Usually does because I haven't had them on since this morning. There it goes. Anyway, let me. I got to read the ones that I missed. Just in case there's something important. Oh, First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I have to have that pop every day, I got to tell you. You know, it's just because the attacks and then all this stuff. It's just a nice reminder to see that. And let's see. Okay, now I'll make a new one here. Let's see. Put Xmas Manor on index. There. And I'll just have it alert for tonight at like 5:30 or so. So Sabbath breaks here at 5:24. So I'll have it at 6:30. No, I'll be over at Alvin's. So I'll do it for tomorrow morning. Or tonight. Yeah, I'll do that. Like tonight at, I should be home by 9:30. I'll do it at 9 p.m. Okay. So with that said, I'm going to get, don't forget tonight, 7 o'clock, please register for the forum and please share, you know, bring people in there and share the truth with them and, you know, so that we can get more and more souls involved in the truth. Not that we need church members. We're not in it for that. We just want a bigger family when we get home. Oh, that would be so nice to have, you know, because we know how it's like every time we go to the camp meeting. It's just like we don't want to leave. You know, we just love being, oh, wow. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more people join the forum. Now, there are a couple I just noticed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five. And going to the last row here. Five. Five people that I have no idea who they are. So hopefully it's from the world that they come in and they want to hear the truth. So have a blessed Sabbath, everyone. See you tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern time for the prayer and the study. I think we're in the last. Well, no, I don't know where we're at. Don't take my word for it. We'll figure it out when we get there tonight. So those of you on Twitch, thanks again for stopping by. And why do I even say it that way? You want to be here. I know how you are. Because I want to be here. And we're all brothers and sisters in the faith. So we'll see you next week. Because Twitch, we don't light up again until Friday night. So God bless you. And those of you on live WTPR, you know the routine. Here in a moment or 12, you'll be hearing some music. Okay, did I forget? I don't know what's going on the old WTPR. Something looks wrong. Anyway, you're going to be hearing music here in a moment. So God bless you all tonight. Love you. Set of blessings.